Good morning. Good to have you along with us. Today's program, originally set to air March 23rd and 24th, year of our Lord, 2025. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke today in chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 26. As we look back over our scripture, thinking about just the last week or so, Jesus has been doing some miracles. Jesus has called Peter, used his boat to preach to some folks. Last week we talked about how he healed a leper, and then he healed a paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by the paralyzed man's friends. Those of you may remember the story. They literally took him up on the roof and then tore a hole in the roof to let him down through. Amazing amount of faith, trying to get their friend to Jesus. And, you know, we could say, you know, are we willing to do that for our friends, to get them to Jesus? Then we come to verse 26, and this was, you know, after Jesus had dealt with the paralyzed man there. And, you know, I guess I should include in this that, you know, you would think that people would be happy. A paralyzed man can walk. A leprous man has been healed. But not everybody was happy. There were some people that were not happy about the way that Jesus did it, because he told that paralyzed man his sins were forgiven. Then finally he told him that he was healed to take up his bed and walk. Well, he just said, arise, take up thy bed, and go to thine house. And the man did. In verse 26, it says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. But let me tell you, in the verses to come, we're going to find some things that Jesus does that will challenge the Pharisees even more than the miracles that he did. It says, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican. Now, that's not a republican, it's just a publican. Another name for tax collector, that's what the publicans were called in that day, named Levi. And we find out that that was, in fact, Matthew, who wrote the Gospel of Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do ye eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, Jesus has done some things that the Pharisees and the scribes said he shouldn't have done. He's healed some people on the Sabbath day. He's gaining in popularity because he's fed people, he's healed people. But, you know, I really think the thing that they just couldn't stand was the people Jesus hung out with. The people that Jesus ran around with. The people that Jesus rubbed shoulders with. And he's already been, I mean, you know, he's calling these men to help him that are fishermen. These are rough guys. Probably at this point in time is already maybe healed some harlots, this type of thing. Now we're reaching to the other end. In other words, we're going from, I don't mean this derogatory toward anybody, but he goes from the dregs, from the people on the bottom end, to the top. And the people that would have been, the people that would have not been too popular, the people that would have been left out of things, But they're the white collar folks, the tax collectors, the people we just don't want to be around. And could I use the word despised because of the position that they held? And so Jesus is reaching out to people that nobody else does. Jesus is accepting people that nobody else accepts. He has been with, here again, the bottom end. Now he's reaching out to Levi, who's going to be Matthew, and so he's reaching out to the upper end of this thing, and the scribes and Pharisees say, whoa, wait a minute. Because, you know, see, Matthew, Levi, he's working with Romans. Well, you don't do that. Not if you're a good Jew. So they say, you know, how can you do this? Jesus here says, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And, you know, a few years ago, I was at a gas station pretty late one evening, and I was with a couple fellas that needed some help. And I'm not saying I wanted to be there, but I was there. And not going to tell you who, in part because I can't remember all the names, but a certain lawyer drove up, and the two fellas left, and I was still standing there, and the lawyer looked at me and said, how do you know them two boys? And I said, well, I said, you know, pastors kind of like lawyers. We deal with both sides. They laughed. They said, all right, we understand. And, you know, the fact of business is, you know, sometimes we need to reach out to folks that nobody else will. Sometimes we need to be accepting. Sometimes we need to be loving because Jesus loved us. Now, I'm not saying that we should ever condone sin. I'm not saying that. But there's people out there that are struggling. There are people out there that are fighting temptation, that are fighting drug abuse, that are fighting bad relationships, and on and on and on. And they really just need somebody to care about them. And I'm not telling you that I'm the best at that, but Jesus is. And Jesus reached out to those folks, and we sure don't need to turn them away. Verse 33. And they said unto him, that's Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? So John's disciples and the Pharisees' disciples had this in common. And he said unto them, can ye make the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. And he spake also a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh the rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. Now, we look at this, and, you know, can't say too much about fasting, because we just don't do it. We don't fast. Now, there's a few people that do. I'm not discouraging that. Jesus didn't say not to do it. In fact, he tells us here that after he's gone, that people will fast. The people look at him and they say, well, you know, your disciples aren't fasting. He said, well, I'm with them. You know, he is the Messiah. He is the one who would deliver them from their sins. You know, he's basically saying, you know, right now is the time to live and enjoy. He said, but the time's coming, I'm going to be gone. And this is nothing against John's disciples, but the disciples of the Pharisees, they just didn't understand. And they weren't doing anything wrong when they fasted and prayed. But the fact of business is they weren't doing right by not recognizing Jesus. And he goes in then to this parable. And there's two parables here really in a way, or two separate stories. He first of all talks about the garment. And I usually wear my clothes, at least my work clothes, till there's just not much left of them. And I have sewn some patches in them, and you know, those of y'all that are old enough have done that type of thing too. But I can kind of understand this, that he says, well, you know, if you take a new piece of cloth and you put it in an old garment, especially, now if you think about this, if that old garment is worn enough, the next time you stretch, which one's going to give? It's going to be the old. I mean, it's going to rip out in all likelihood. Now, if I'm the one that sewed it, it's probably going to be my stitching that comes apart. But if I did it on a machine, it's going to rip that old garment, and you know, neither one of them is going to be better off. Then he talks about putting the new wine in the old bottles. The old wine skins have give all they're going to give. They've become inelastic, rigid. And so when you put this new wine in and it starts to give off gas and it starts to expand and contract, they can't handle it. And they're going to break and they're going to be ruined, and so is the wine. And it's going to be spilled everywhere. If you're holding on to it, you're going to be wearing it. Then, so it's just a mess all the way around. Then the last verse. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new. For he saith the old is better. I think Jesus has given us a little something here. Nobody likes change. I have heard it said that the only people that like change are wet babies. And I'm not sure they like it, but they have to have it. They don't have a lot of choice, right? At least hopefully there's somebody cares enough about them to change them. We don't like change. And so maybe Jesus here is being a little bit understanding even toward these Pharisees, but you can't stay that way. I mean, in my lifetime, and I saw this in myself when I was a young person, when my life wasn't what it should have been, I didn't like change. I liked the old ways. I liked the way we used to do things. I wanted to go back in time, back to the old West and all this type of stuff. Guys, we can't do it. And I'm as probably resistant to change most of the time as most people, but I have noticed over my life, and I'm not saying I like this, and some of y'all are going to think less of me for me saying it, but I have noticed that the individuals, the businesses, and the churches that have been able to be successful are the ones that have been able to adapt. They've been able to embrace new technology. Listen, and here again, I'm not talking about accepting sin. But you know, folks, it's not a sin to have a piano. You know, back hundreds of years ago, they all said it was a sin to have a piano in church because it sounded like a bar room or something. It's not a sin to have a sound system. It's not a sin to be on the internet. It's not a sin to use newspaper and TV. And some of y'all are thinking, well, Neil, some of that we've been doing for years. They hadn't been doing it since Christ. You know, Billy Graham started going into newspapers and TV, and people are, whoa, wait a minute. You know, that kind of stuff. Or at least I believe I've heard that. It's not a sin because something's new. Jesus was new in this day and time. And these people could not accept him. Now, that's not the only reason they couldn't accept him. And the question today is really not why they couldn't accept him. The question is whether or not you will. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening this morning. Lord willing, we'll be back next week. God bless you, God bless America, and God bless Israel today as well.